afternoon, we had had a picnic over at the school, and I'd come back into the building. It was pretty much empty. And yet, as the door was open, a pigeon had flown into our foyer over here, and as a result, was now banging its head against the fixed glass up high. Flying back, banging, flitting around, trying to get out. Now I thought, well, I probably need to do something here. So first thing I did was I opened up all the doors, and then I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, shoo, you know, what do? You know, the bird's flying up high and is not paying any attention to me, and I realize that this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to be a lot more directive if I hope to get this bird out of the building. So I went and got the ladder, propped up the ladder, and I start climbing up, and now, you know, imagine what's going on in the mind of this bird. It's already been beating its brains out against this glass, and now a big lug like me is pawing, trying to grab it. And, you know, and this bird's probably, you know, is thinking, man, this is all I need. Look, I got this guy after me now. And, you know, the bird's moving everywhere, and at one point in my frustration, I actually said out loud, "Bird, I'm trying to help you." You know, and I don't think it made much of an impression, right? But I'm trying to get hold of this bird, and I'm trying to help it, but I don't want to hurt it. And finally, the bird was so exhausted, banged its head so many times, that it was still enough where I was actually able to place my hands gently around it, climb down the stairs, the step ladder without breaking my neck, and then release it back outside. The bird didn't understand what I was trying to do. Probably thought I was a menace. But I really meant good for that bird. I was thinking about a very familiar passage from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David was a shepherd. He was thinking about his relationship with God, and he said, Lord, that's what you're like to me. He makes me, he leads me, he restores me, he guides me. Four things he lists that God does for him. But you think about that next line after he says, I lack for nothing, I shall not want. The next line says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Think about that. He makes me lie down. I remember as I was a boy, we had a collie, and I can remember, you know, the dog's moving all around and trying to find a place to sit. And I'm kind of, as a kid, pushing down on the haunches on this dog. Like, sit down, sit down. Sheep are not really clever creatures. They will wander off into barren desert places where there's nothing to eat, there's no place to graze, no place to lie down. They will wander off and kill themselves, destroy their lives, if not for the shepherd who makes them to lie down, who guides them, who leads them to the quiet waters. There's a famous line from this statement. It's called the Westminster Catechism. It says, the chief end of men and women, you know it's going to be big, right? The chief end of men and women is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There's two things that are put forward in that phrase. The first thing it says, to glorify God. And you think, well, I kind of have a picture of what that might look like, to really live for God, to give my life completely to God. Okay, I've got some idea of what that might look like, to really glorify God in all that I do. And then there's this second statement, and it says, enjoying Him, having joy in my life, having my life fulfilled, having my life rich and satisfied. And I look at that statement and think, I kind of know what having this full life looks like and glorifying God, but do these things really connect? Because, you see, conventional wisdom would say that if we really gave our life to God, our lives would be miserable. There's this idea out there that says if we really get serious about following God, It's going to ruin our lives. And we'll be miserable. We're like the bird. We're banging our head. There's a God that wants to come and guide us and direct us. And it's like, I'm trying to help you. We're like the sheep. We need to be led to the green pastures, to the quiet waters. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to be serious about what it means to follow Him. And here's the promise. You come after me. You follow me. I'll give you life. I give you life to the full. You've been handed this form. It says WHF on it. Would you get it out if you find that copy? If you don't have a copy, we've got the ushers will walk down the aisles and put one in your hand because we want you to have one. This is real important to us here at SUBY because we think it's really quite simple. We are called to be disciples and to make disciples. And we don't want to just be disciples just half-heartedly. We believe in this concept that says if we sell ourselves out, if we really give our lives to following Jesus Christ, our lives aren't going to be miserable, they're going to be full and rich. And it's our exercise. If you turn to page 8, you'll see there's a commitment form in there. The preamble there is to help explain what it's all about. Many of you know the drill. You've seen us do this before. We do it every year. This is an exercise to help you think about where's your life going to be next year, 2009? What kind of life do you want to have? What are the disciplines in your life that are going to allow God to pour out His grace on you? This doesn't save you. It doesn't assure your salvation, but it's a way of growing in grace, of growing in Christ and becoming more like Christ. And so what we ask people who are interested in being a wholehearted follower of Christ, who are committed to saying, I want to be a disciple, a serious follower of Jesus Christ. What we ask is that you look at these five areas of discipline, think about your life, and write out your goals, your commitment, and say, Lord, this is what I want for myself. These are the disciplines I want in my life. And you know what? This is all about this word, intentionality. You may say, Graham, I'm committed to following Jesus and I will. What do you want to do about it? Are you prepared to be intentional? Let's be serious people. Let's not come here and play games. Let's take seriously this idea that says to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the way of life. It's the way that brings freedom. It's the way that makes our life full and rich. Next Sunday is our Covenant Sunday. As part of our service, there'll be an opportunity. You just can fill out this booklet, sign it, and you will come and present it. And lay it at the altar and say, Lord, this is my intentions, my desires to have the following disciplines in my life, to lay my life before you, to be a follower of you in 2009. You don't have to do it, but we encourage you to do it. We think it's a good exercise. So that's next Sunday. Would you please prayerfully consider, because this is homework now. You're gonna have to think about this, and you know, some places you got to write and do some stuff. So don't just blow it off. Think about it. What would God have for you? Come next week, all filled out. There'll be an opportunity in the service for you to come and lay your life in a figurative way before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, 2009. Would you now pray with me? Father, we think of the words of the psalm. You're my shepherd. I want for nothing. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you. We can know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. You walk with us, and we walk with you. And we experience life to the full. We experience the fruit of your Spirit. We experience joy. Lord, may it be true of us. We're serious. Not half-hearted. Not lukewarm. But wholehearted followers of you. So, Father, guide and direct us during this week as we consider the disciplines of what it means to follow you. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you as you consider your part next year. Timon, come lead us.